Romans 8, 5. Romans 8, 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Which makes us want to ask the question, what's on your mind?
Amen. Amen.
That's the question. What's on your mind? What do you think about? What are you always thinking about? Okay. I could preach down that direction too, I suppose. Okay. What is a spiritual mind? A spiritual mind. First of all, it's not a religious mind. You see, religion says, I'm going to do a lot of things that I'd rather not do. Things that are not on my mind, that I don't really desire to do. I'm going to do a lot of things that pain me, that make me feel like I'm sacrificing in order to obtain favor from God. That's a religious mind. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to give something I would rather keep in order to please God in such a way that He would give me something for it. Now, in fact, that's not only a wrong mind and wrong-mindedness, although sacrificing for something you want, sacrificing something... In other words, if you have something you like and you sacrifice it for something better, it's worth it. If there were some way that you could give up your wealth or your time here on earth and by that somehow achieve eternal life, it would be worth it.
Amen.
Of course it would be. Sure, it's not wrong in the sense that it's evil. That's wise if that's what it takes. But it is deceitful. It is deceptive. For anyone to make you think or to give the doctrine or to teach that it's possible to obtain God's favor by our sacrifices. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nothing we can offer God that He wants. He doesn't want your money. He's got more money than He needs. He doesn't want your blood. He doesn't want you to bleed for Him or to suffer pain because you're not an innocent victim. You have nothing to offer God. Religion tells you that if you give up something valuable here, God will give you something valuable there. And the fact is, you have nothing God wants.
Right.
Nothing. So it is deceitful. But on top of that, it's somewhat despicable. Disgusting to think that God surrounds Himself in heaven by a whole lot of people who only want, basically they are serving Him for the only reason of profiting by it. That's the religious mind. Whose only loyalty toward God is fear. Whose only desire to serve Him is for what they can get out of it. That's despicable. To think that God would surround Himself with people like that. People whose only loyalty is fear. That's the religious mind. That's not a spiritual mind. Somehow, some way, a spiritual mind is someone who wants to serve God. Out of a desire, a sincere, heartfelt desire to serve God. It's one who responds to His love with love, but from his heart. Who wants a wife that serves because she's afraid? That is disgusting. That is taking what is beautiful about marriage and taking and turning it into nothing more than a slave and an owner relationship. We use the illustration often that coming to Christ is just like marriage in some ways. You stop and think about it. A woman to become a wife doesn't sweep the house and doesn't tend to the bed and doesn't make the bed and doesn't wash the clothes in order to be a wife. She becomes a wife first, and then she does all of that with a willing heart. Although nowadays ladies wouldn't say they do all of that. They'd say we share equally in all these responsibilities, right? Well, that's kind of despicable too.
Amen.
That's not the subject of this discourse, okay? Marty, if you'll stay out of it, I won't preach down that direction. No, a woman receives love from her husband and therefore loves her husband back. We love God because He first loved us.
Amen. Right. Amen.
But that's what a spiritual mind is. It has to be from your heart. You have to see whatever it is that God has done for you and respond naturally with a desire to serve in thankfulness. Otherwise, all you have is a religious mind. The mind where you think, I'll give this and I'll get that. And even though that would be wise, if that's the way God had set it up, it's still a whole lot less than what He's offered. A spiritual mind is not a religious mind. A spiritual mind is not a self-disciplined mind.
Yeah.
It's not a mind that controls itself and forces itself and holds on to itself and disciplines itself. Because, once again, a spiritual mind is one that thinks like Christ thinks. That has His mind. That thinks from the spiritual side of our natures. And I'll just throw this one in. A spiritual mind is not a shallow mind. Which a whole lot of people seem to have gotten confused. Because they think, you know, if we don't get deep, if we don't get into anything controversial, if we never study the Bible too deeply, we just stay on the surface, we can actually make films about Jesus and nobody will get offended. We'll do all these things and we'll pretend that that's spirituality. It's not tolerance. It's not a dumbing down Christianity so that we never get into anything deep. It's not a shallow mind. It's not a ditzy blonde Christianity. It's not always positive. And it's never indiscriminate. Christianity discriminates. Christianity says that's good, that's bad. Christianity says I stand for this and I stand against that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. What's on your mind? Do you have a spiritual mind or do you have a carnal mind? Because to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2, 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow! There is a natural man, and there is a spiritual man. What is the natural man? Okay, unsaved. But I'm saved. Do I not have a natural man? Yeah, I sure do. Oh, you know, you didn't even hesitate to say that, did you, Brother Don? I was meaning all of us, of course. You know. Don't have to jump the gun on that. Yes, I have a natural man. My wife would be glad to confess for me. I have a natural man. And this natural man is different than the spiritual man. There is a difference between the two. We have conflicting natures. Somehow, man, you know, let me tell you something. I personally believe this also is can be applied directly to unsaved people. There is a spiritual side to just everybody that ever lived. There is the natural man, and then there is a spiritual man. Now, not saved and not filled with the Holy Spirit, so all of this doesn't apply, but just stop and think. The Bible says God made men in His image. In other words, we have more than the animals. But all men are animals. In some way, they are animals. This all must be new because it's not real clear to you. All men are animals in their nature. In some way, they are animals. I know they have more than animals because they can know right from wrong. That's the conscience. But you see, there are some things that are natural as animals, and men behave as animals. Men have this animalistic nature that we can call the natural man. And it cannot receive the things of God. It cannot understand them. And so many men live as animals. Nothing more than animals all their life. First of all, they're animals in their own opinion. Animals in their own opinion because of the theory of evolution. The non-scientific theory of evolution. Animals in their own opinion. As if all we are is an accident that happened billions of years ago, and gradually, by just fortuitous circumstance and everything that happened and random mutations and everything, this is what we turned out to be. Of course, that's silly. That doesn't even make sense. It's not true. It is a great big hoax.
Amen.
They'll teach it and they will laugh and mock at us. But let me tell you something. Let them laugh and let them mock, because their time is coming.
Amen.
It's not going to be long before their foolishness will be clear to all the world.
Right, right.
Boy, you talk about being hoaxed. They're talking about the most intelligent people in the world. And without one shred of evidence, without one fossil, without one, not even one missing link, not one will actually tell us that all of these transitional forms existed, we just don't have any evidence of them. No, they're animals in their opinion because they've been deceived. But they're not just animals in their opinion. They're animals in their behavior. What are you, and how do you behave more than an animal? What is your life? Eat, drink, sleep, rest, fight, fornicate. Animals all do that. What do you do that animals don't do? What's different? For the vast majority of people in the world, there's no difference. No difference in their practical life. Maybe it's very insulting. It is extremely insulting. But when you compare your life, how is it different from the life of a dog? Any old stray dog out there, how is it different? We got the stupidest little mutt dog. It happens to be my wife's dog. My dog's a good, smart, intelligent dog. We brought this dog up from Mexico and put her in the yard, and there she is in the yard, and we got my dog up here that stays up here. Good, intelligent, faithful dog. And then this little mutt rug dog comes up and sees where the food is and just has gotten very, very jealous over this food. So that every time I walk out the door, my dog Dobie comes up and wants me to pet it, whatever. And so does this little mutt dog, wants to come up and get petted too. But soon as Dobie looks like she might be headed toward that food, boom, she runs back over to that food. And of course, this food bin is a huge 50-pound thing that won't run out for a month. She's not going to lose out, and we'll fill it up when it's gone, but she's defending her little food, you know. Well, isn't that the way we are? Don't we just fight and wrestle and do everything we can to keep what little things we have? We act just like dogs. We act just like beasts. They're not only animals in their behavior, they're animals in their religion. Animals. How? Just like sheep are led to the slaughter. First they're fleeced, and then they're led blindly to the slaughter. Just like a horse with blinders. Of course, they don't lead horses to the slaughter, or do they? I'm not sure. But one way or the other, animals, they don't ask the questions. They don't ask important questions. They don't say, well, where are we going? Well, what do we know about this? What is your evidence for that? They don't ask any pertinent questions. Just, well, my parents told me this is the way to go, so this is the way I'm going. Well, don't you ever investigate? Don't you find out? Well, the priest told me this, and so I just believe him. Really? How many times did the Bible tell you not to trust men? They'll lie to you. How many times did Jesus say, beware of false prophets, even false Christs? How many times did Peter and Paul say, in the last times, perilous times will come, and there will be false teachers, and they will seduce you, and they will make merchandise of you? All these times, and yet people in their religion just blindly go along, just whatever I was told, whatever is convenient. Just like animals, just like chickens get their feed every day and think, well, who knows? Who cares? Does this chicken farmer love me? I don't know. I don't care, just as long as he gives me my feed today. Animals, that's the natural man. That's to be carnally minded. However, look at the other side of it. There is a spiritual man. He says, first of all, if you'll look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The spiritual man knows what has been given to him by God. A spiritual man actually understands certain things. He knows certain things that nobody even has to teach him because he has seen it. He's seen it either in the Bible or somebody has showed it to him. He has seen and seen what God has freely given to him of God. Freely given to him by God. He also, verse 13 says, speaks the wisdom of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Taught by the Holy Ghost and able to speak of spiritual wisdom. He receives the things of the Spirit of God, verse 14. He spiritually discerns, understands things. Verse 14 and verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. In other words, this idea that, well, I don't know which way is right. I just have no idea, so you know, I'm just going to follow whatever my folks told me. Well, that's not true. A spiritual man can discern. A spiritual man can read the Bible and understand it. A spiritual man, a man thinking spiritually, a man thinking not carnally, not through his animal nature, but thinking spiritually like God made him, using the spiritual side of himself, including his conscience, knowing right from wrong, making decisions based on his knowledge of right from wrong, including faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, he's taking steps, decisions based on things that he cannot see and yet that he has evidence for.
Amen.
That's faith. Therefore, taking these things, he understands the things that God has freely given us. He can also discern spiritually what the Bible teaches. He can decide who's telling the truth and who's not. That's a spiritual man. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Carnal men. natural men as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Now, I'll go on record saying I don't believe any human being was ever made to be taken and destroyed. That's an excess of Calvinism. That's an excess of predestination and election, saying that God made some people just for the purpose of contrasting their fate with ours. No, I don't believe that. You know what I believe? I believe that men act out of their carnal brute beast nature and reject every good thing that God has given them to have, and reject the grace of God and reject the truth and despise faith and despise government and will not submit. They are self-willed, and then in that way they have become like natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And since they've become like that, they will utterly perish in their own corruption. Amen. That's the natural man. Philippians chapter 3 verse 19. The natural man, the carnal man. Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What's on your mind? It's just that simple. That's the question. What's on your mind? Are you a spiritual man? Are you a spiritual woman? Are you carnal? Look at Romans. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 6. What about the spiritual man? What is the value of having a spiritual mind? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Amen. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Ye which are spiritual. As in, ye which didn't fall. As in, ye that are hanging in there and haven't succumbed to temptation. As in, ye that are still standing, go help out those that have fallen. Amen. What is a spiritual man? It's a man that can overcome temptation. Amen. A spiritual mind is that which gives you the power to endure temptation and say no to the devil. A spiritual mind is victory over sin. What's on your mind? Chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that what? That ye may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A spiritual mind knows the will of God. He finds out what it is that God wants. A spiritual man, somebody who is led by the Spirit, that has a spiritual mind, knows God's will. And is led by God. He proves that perfect, good, and acceptable will of God. Amen. A spiritual mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Can you see that goal? Every thought. Every single thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
You know, I might have that as a goal, but I'm not even within sight of it. Every thought. every single thought to the obedience of Christ? Is this Paul telling us that that's what we're doing? We have sight of a goal? Maybe it's possible. He says we can bring every single thought to the obedience of Christ. Is that possible? You know, I don't know about theoretically, but he didn't write it here as if it were some impossible dream that why even bother with it? Just give up on it. You know what this is all telling me? That our victory as Christians depends upon having a spiritual mind.
Amen.
You want to get victory over sin? You need a spiritual mind. You want to have victory over the world? You need a spiritual mind. You want to cast down strongholds, win a few souls, have the right answers? You need a spiritual mind. You don't know what God's will is in such and such a situation? You need a spiritual mind. And you know what I find about Christians? We have carnal minds. You know how I know? What's on your mind? Just that simple. What's on your mind? It says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Back in Romans chapter 8. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me see if you see it the way I do. It all boils down to time. Everybody has to think about some carnal things. When you get hungry, you can't help but think about hunger. When you get, when you have a bill to pay, you can't help but think, I've got to get the money to pay this bill. I don't know anybody who has the, I think Jesus Christ actually thought about these things. Paul obviously did. They had to pay taxes. They had to go and take care of this or take care of the other thing. So, the whole argument here, that is, if we want victory, if we want to live for God, if we want to have victory over sin, and we need a spiritual mind, then the whole thing revolves around time. Because the time you have thinking about spiritual things, the time you have being minded of spiritual things, that is what makes the difference between being spiritually minded and carnally minded. It all boils down to time. What's on your mind? Now, it seems to me that the Bible is saying, and he says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the continuation of what we read about the natural man and the spiritual man and these things. He makes it sound like, you know, as a Christian grows older, he becomes more spiritual. That's what it makes it sound like. You know, he starts to be able to eat strong meat. But then Paul says, hey, I tried to write to you as spiritual, and yet I couldn't because you were like babes. I had to give you milk and not meat. And it seems to me he said that in other places too. Like over there in Hebrews. He says, you know, this is the time when y'all ought to be teachers. And you're not teachers. I've got to start all over and teach you the first principles of the things of Christ. You aren't able to bear strong meat. Isn't that something? How is it that it's not going according to plan? What is it that happens that makes me, instead of being an older Christian and being actually more spiritually minded than I used to be, I find that I'm actually less spiritually minded than I used to be? What's the problem? Time. What's on your mind? It's time. You know what he says? He says you've left your first love. So what do you need to do? Do the first works.
Amen.
You want some mystical answer? I'm sorry. It's that simple. It's time. You know what I find is that as Christians we grow and we become more mature and we need certain things and we start taking for granted certain things and whatever happens, however it happens, we begin to take less time for the spiritual things. And more time for the carnal things. And then we start wondering, well, what's happening? How come I'm not revived anymore?
Amen.
How come I don't feel like praising God anymore? How come when I read the Bible, it just doesn't jump out at me anymore? How come I don't have joy in preaching anymore? How come there's things are not happening like they should? How come I don't know God's will anymore? How come He doesn't speak to me anymore like He used to? I don't have my first love anymore. And the whole point is time. You've given Him less time. Because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded. It has to do with how much time you give the spiritual mind, thinking on spiritual things. So, I'm just going to read you three verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And point out three things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is nothing new. It's just the same old exhortation. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
Did you realize that He's telling you you can think on certain things, which means you cannot think on other things? You decide what you're going to think on. You're the one who decides. So the first thing you need to do is align your interests spiritually.
Amen.
It's easy to get interested in carnal things. It's easy to get distracted in carnal things. I sometimes wonder, Lord, why is it so difficult for me to have a spiritual mind? Why? My interests are on carnal things. I am interested in carnal things. I find it interesting that I spend so much time either working on a computer, working on some project, doing something for necessity's sake, working on the crazy trailer, working on the car, whatever it is that are my interests. You know something? If I really wanted a spiritual mind, I could get rid of my computer. I could get rid of my car. How bad do you want a spiritual mind? It all has to do with interest. Interest. What is your interest? Why don't we start up some projects that are truly interesting spiritually?
Amen.
I was talking to Steve back there saying, John had sent me an email about some guy who had his interest since the time he was in high school. He read some story or whatever about similes. And he got interested in similes, and so he started collecting them. Everything he'd read, if he found a simile, he'd type it into this thing. And he sent me this email of, I don't know, thousands of similes. You know, dead as a doornail. That's a simile. Dead as a doornail, you know. Meek as a lamb. These are similes. This was interesting to him. You know, well, you know, that's kind of interesting to me. But why not get interested in something spiritual?
Amen.
Why not get yourself interested in something truly spiritual? Why not have a project on prophecy? Why not have a project on church history? I don't know what it takes for you to get interested or what might interest you, but it's all about your deciding to be interested in things that are spiritual. And then you'll have a spiritual mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It has to do with your interest, and it has to do with your input. What goes in. What you want to think about has to be what goes in. If what you have coming in all the time is carnal, well, then your mind is going to be carnal.
Right.
It's about time. It's just about time. How much time do you have inputting carnal things? Oh my, we have a lot of time receiving in carnal things. Man, that's all day at work. Isn't it basically carnal? Everything happening carnal, carnal, carnal. And then we wonder why we have bad dreams. Or we wonder why we can't think of spiritual things. Or we wonder why we have nothing to share. Everything coming in is carnal, carnal, carnal. You know, I keep saying, it's all about time. How much time do you have to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly? And let me tell you something, the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly is not just reading and memorizing. Because a lot of people read and memorized the Scriptures and didn't have a clue about the mind of Christ. It has to do with dwelling in you richly. Quality time. Teaching and admonishing one another. Psalms and hymns. That means less world, less flesh, less buying and selling, less entertainment, more Word of Christ, more teaching and admonishing, more hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, more singing with grace and praising God in your hearts and thankfulness, more. It's about input. And three, it's about attention. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You want a spiritual mind? Put off the old man and put on the new man. Just like when you get up in the morning and you put on your clothes. Or when you come home from work and you take off your dirty, filthy clothes and you put on some clean clothes after you take a good shower. That's what he's saying. It's all about attention. How many of us would have very many friends if we never shaved, we never showered, we never changed our socks? It's pretty bad when you get around people like that, you know. Me and John had to ride 18 hours in a bus one time and somebody took off his shoes. This was an air-conditioned bus. You couldn't get the windows open if you tried. We thought about throwing a brick through them because we couldn't breathe. My goodness, if you're not going to change your socks for a week, don't take off your shoes. Well, you know, that's exactly the way some people have in their spiritual minds. They don't take off anything. They don't change anything. They don't put on anything. It's all the same old thing all the time. Just a carnal mind, just regurgitated over and over and over again. Put off. You know that word put off, I believe, is placed there by the Holy Spirit. I know this probably can't be found in the Greek. But you know, put off doesn't just mean take off as in clothes. It also means postpone it. Put it off. You don't have to do that carnal thing right away, do you? Can't you just put that off? You know, I've saved a lot of money putting off buying. I really want that thing. I really do. But you know, I think I'm going to come back tomorrow. You know, you save a lot of money if you just put it off. Just not today. We do that tomorrow. But you know what I find we do? We have something we really need to do. We say, we'll do that tomorrow. When that's the thing you should have done today. It's about attention. You know, you have to get up in the morning and put some attention on spiritual things. Before you go to bed at night, you've got to put some attention on spiritual things. If you don't, you'll have a carnal mind. And if you have a carnal mind, it's death. It's not life and peace. It's death. In fact, it's fashioning yourself according to the lusts of uncleanness. Read up on what a carnal mind is. That's what's in your mind all the time. The lusts of uncleanness, the presumption, the self-will, the unrighteousness, the unholiness, all this wickedness and vile, evil things in your head because it comes carnally all the time. And that's what you fill your mind with. And you place no attention on the spiritual things. And you have no fellowship with Jesus Christ because He walks in the light and you don't walk in the light. You're walking in darkness. Even though he said, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. You live in the darkness. You walk in the darkness. You pay attention to the darkness. You fill your minds with the darkness. And he cannot have communion with you if you're walking in darkness. It's about attention. Put some attention on spiritual things. Constant, careful attention. Just like you paid attention to whether your hair was combed before you came to church. just like you brushed your teeth, or at least stuck a piece of gum in your mouth. Just like that, right? Why don't you put that kind of attention to spiritual things? And then you have a spiritual mind, and it's life, and it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost, and it's victory over sin, and it's communion with God, and it's knowing His will, and it's all victory, even over the greatest strongholds there are, to the point that you could actually get close and even get in sight of the goal, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a goal! I want a spiritual mind.
Amen.
Let's pray. Before I quit, every head bowed and every eye closed, please. But before I quit, I want to ask you, if there's someone here that is not saved, that does not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want help, nobody's looking, you just want to tell these pastors that you want help, you want to know how to get saved, just raise your hand right now. You want to know how to get saved, and you want one of these pastors to come to you and help you out after the meeting. Just raise your hand right now. Lord, I ask you to give us spiritual minds. Teach us the importance of having communion and fellowship with you and walking in the light with you. I ask in Jesus' name.